Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're into part 23 on how to have God's life living in you, and this will be tape and CD number 125. If you'd like to order a copy, just email us or call us or write us or fax us and ask us for CD or tape number 125. You can email us, fax us, call us, or write us at
AlamoMinistries.com.
That's the email. All right.
The mailing address is Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505. Or you could call us at area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so right now we have several letters, and we'll go up to the throne first to pray to the Lord, who is our only source of life, eternal life, to anoint outwardly this service. Father, we know that you are life. The very content of you is life. There's nothing in you but life. And we need your life living in us and through us. The words that are in the Bible are spirit, and they are life. And for us to be able to have your content in us, we need to read your word and receive the flowing of the river of life, which is also the tree of life, from your throne in heaven. The word of your word tells us that you are life, that you sent your representative here on earth, which is yourself, embodied in a human body, to tell us what life was. And you, in Jesus, stated that you were the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can enter the kingdom of heaven but through you. We know that the preaching of your word is the way that pleases you to win souls unto you, because it is not your wish that any person perishes, but that everyone would receive your word, which is life, and which is also the outpouring or the content of you. If we have you, which is life, because all that is in you, your whole content, if you have God and you pour everything into him is life, and he, you, Father, dispense your life into us. You sent life into the world in your Son, and then he, when he died on the cross and gave up the spirit, his spirit, and went into hell, he conquered death, hell, and the grave, and ascended into the kingdom of heaven. Thus he is able to pour, you are able to pour your life into us, so that the content of us is nothing but you, your life. And when we are filled with your content, which is life, which is the unique life, the only life, then we are able to, you are able to anoint us outwardly, as you're doing now, to let the uniqueness of your life, the very content of you, enter into others. And then the others that receive your life or the content of you are able to go and win millions and millions of others. And we know, Lord, that you're soon to appear in the eastern skies. And we ask, Lord, that as many souls, that you win many, many souls. Take over my lips, the words that come out of me, let it be directly from you, so that souls can be saved and the church be strengthened. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now where's the first letter from, please?
From Cape Coast, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Alamo, this is Justice from Ghana. I thank you very much for making me happy by sending me more literature to distribute. I also thank you very much for the sweatshirt and the Messiah. Pastor, what I want to tell you is that your literature is winning more souls for God in Ghana here. A lot of people have told me the miracles your literature is performing, and that makes me more happy.
Oh, you should receive my tapes as well. That way people can listen, and if they don't understand English, you can have a translator there and stop the tape every so often and then let them know what I'm saying. Okay, then what else? What the Lord is actually saying through me, okay? Mm-hmm. Then what?
Pastor, I thank God for you, because I was in the darkness, and through you I have seen the light of God, and I will never depart from it. Also, I will never stop contacting you. God shall prepare a special place for you in paradise, so that you shall get rest. Pastor, people always tell me their problems, and if I preach to them and give them your newsletters, they come back and tell me how wonderful your literature is. They ask me where I get it. I have told them all I know about you, and they want to see your picture. So I want you to send me your picture, a very big picture of yours, to show it to them. Sir, some people say they want to join me in preaching the word, so if you can get them some t-shirts, please try to send medium. Please, they need three, because I preach with them, but it is only me who is wearing your shirt. May God give you a long life to serve him and to win more souls for him. I would like to hear from you soon. Yours, Justice, from Cape Coast, Ghana, Africa.
Okay, this is good. You know, give them the three shirts. But and then I just praise and thank the Lord for brothers like this. And you can tell that the man is going to really get the gospel out over there. Praise the Lord. All right, and that he's doing it right now. And there'll be many, come as many people as he gets to receive the gospel that wants to distribute the literature. We'll give them t-shirts, also Bibles, anything they need like that, okay? And literature, plenty of literature. Then what else?
Next.
Also tell them about the tapes. You know, we're on the air now, and the tapes are winning a lot of souls as well. Okay, then what?
The next letter's from Fayetteville, Georgia. Dear Tony, God bless you, sir, and what you are doing for the Lord's kingdom. Praise God. I have been learning a lot through your Bible tracts. They have helped me to understand a lot about the Lord that I have been ignorant about. Tony, I just want to fully mature in the Lord, and I pray that I can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please send me the material to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to have more of the Lord's divine nature. I have made a mess of my life, and I just want to hand it to the Lord 100% and be led by Him in all things. Thank you, Tony. God bless you and your ministry even more. Signed, Danny from Fayetteville, Georgia.
All right, praise the Lord. And then where's the next letter from?
From the Ivory Coast, Africa. Your messages are heart-rending and persuasive. I want to receive your instructions for my spiritual growth. Signed, Mohammed from Abidjan, Ivory Coast, Africa.
Well, whatever you'd like to know, just send in the question. I'm very close to the Lord, and I'm sure he'll give me the right answers for you. And in the meantime, you can listen to the radio broadcast, get tapes that I've done, thousands of tapes, and also you can get the literature as well in the Messiah book. Okay, what else?
Next letter's from Gwynedd, United Kingdom. Dear Tony, please can you send some audio messages about flying saucers and the New World Order?
Okay, let me tell you about flying saucers. And I've been doing things on the New World Order for so long, it's just unreal. I never believed in flying saucers until when Susie and I were put together by the Lord. We actually got put together with visions. We were put together with visions and signs. And I said, well, we're married, Sue, because we saw it in visions, her first and then me afterwards. The Lord, she was 9 years older than me. She passed away in 1982, April 8th. And she kept contending with the Lord. She had been saved for over 25 years, and I just was saved, and she was contending with the Lord because she was seeing us in a vision walking through an arbor with big roses, huge roses, with dewdrops coming off of them, and I had a tuxedo on. And she said, I looked, I only weighed about 139 pounds back then. And she said, I looked like I weighed about 200. And she said, she kept saying, no, Lord, no, he's too young. And the Lord had answered her back and said, yeah, but he's strong. And I had been a weightlifter, not just a bodybuilder, but a weightlifter also for a good many years, so I thought maybe that's what he meant, but he meant strong in the Lord. There's nothing that can discourage me from serving the Lord. The psalmist David, there are so many people that tried to discourage him, but he always encouraged himself. And the way that he encourages himself was that God told him that he was going to be the king over Israel, and that hadn't happened yet. And so therefore he knew that there wasn't any force that could kill him. There wasn't anything that could stop a prediction of God. And so whenever Saul, the king, that was jealous of David for killing the giant, and the women in the kingdom were yelling, David, Saul kills thousands and David 10,000s. Well, he got jealous, and so he wanted to harpoon, or to, with his javelin, nail David to the wall. But David for years would hide in caves, and there'd be armies of people after him. But he never got discouraged. He always knew who God was, and he believed the prophecy that the Lord said about him, that he was going to be the king of Israel. And it's the same thing with me. The Lord has made several predictions about and told us through many signs and wonders that Sue and I were going to be the two witnesses. Now, I've heard other people say that, and that couldn't be true, because the God doesn't tell us one thing and then tell the same thing to other people. So he also stated that I was the prophet Enoch. Enoch went on to be with the Lord many, many years way back, and he has to die. So did Elijah have to come back and die, and he did come in the form of John the Baptist. So Enoch is the only one that hasn't come back yet, and the Lord let me know that that's me. And to me, you know, all of you in that are born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood of Jesus should remember that God has made you kings and priests. Amen?
Amen.
So whatever we are, I mean, we're all one part, we're all just part of the body of Christ, no matter whether we're one of the two witnesses or not. The two witnesses, I would gladly, if that's what I am, you know, and the Lord said I am, I would gladly exchange with anybody else, because nobody would want to go through what those two are going to go through. Everybody in the world almost is going to hate them. And when they're killed, they're going to send presents one to another in celebration that these two prophets of God, highly honored prophets, are dead on the streets, and that they won't be able to torment the people of the world any longer with the Word of God. Because the Word of God torments people, because democracy, what they say is democracy, is nothing more than a dictatorship. They just go in and rule and take anyone that doesn't agree with them out. They actually are totally against God, His Son Christ Jesus, the Word of God, and those of us that preach it. And so we have a big giant, bigger than the one that David fought, against us. But the Lord said that when He's with us, the bridegroom is with us, we shouldn't mourn, because if God be with us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
So there's no problem at all like that. And so any one of you that are discouraged, remember that you're a king and you're a priest, and you're going to reign with the Lord forever in the kingdom of heaven. We're the minority. There's very few of us that's going to make it into the kingdom of God. And it's all up to you. You can either receive Him or reject Him. You've got to do one or the other. There's no way that you're going to get off the hook. And then if you receive Him, you're going to be in a battle. It's a war between you and Satan. And you must win that war. You must reject Satan. You must resist him, and he'll flee from you. And if you get discouraged, you're up one day and down the next, oh, you're so discouraged, you always have to remember, you have to program yourself that you're a king and a priest, and you're in the body of Christ, and Christ is in you, and you have a wonderful, beautiful, eternal home, because you have the content of God in you. God's content is all life. There's nothing else in him but life. And in Satan, there's no life at all. And in people that are not a viable part of the workings of the Lord here on earth, God, there's nothing of God in you. The Lord says that Satan has nothing of me. He has no life at all in him. He's dead. And all the people that don't know Jesus are dead in their sins and trespasses. And you say, well, we were born that way. You know, we were born homosexuals or lesbians. No. Well, if you were, which is a lie, that's why you need to be born again. Amen. This time of the Spirit of God, the content of God in you. If the content of God is poured into you, you're not going to be a lesbian or a homosexual any longer. Amen?
Amen?
God is life. And there's a flowing out from the throne of God. And in the book of Ezekiel, it talks about this river of life and the tree of life it talks about. And both of these are mentioned in the book of Revelation as well, the river of life that flows out from the throne of God. And because there's nothing, that God's content, he's just filled to the brim and overflowing with life. It's like flowing down from the throne. I remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I saw this Spirit, and I had my eyes closed. I was listening to a radio broadcast from a brother Aguri at the Forest Square Church, and his message was so good that it was actually lifting me up and up and further to the throne of the Lord. And then all of a sudden I saw this waterfall. It's a real not a real wide waterfall, but it was a waterfall that was way up high, and it was coming down slowly like molasses or honey, and it was like the color of honey coming right down into me. And I knew exactly when it hit me, and it filled me. I was filled with the Lord, but I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I had tried to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for years, 2 or 3 years, and I never received it until I was listening to that radio broadcast. Our little hut, which is behind a filling station, I was right next to the freeway. You could look out and see the cars passing by, and there was always the drone of traffic going by our window out there. And there was an actual, when I was receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, many times when I tried to receive it, somebody would be flying a model airplane outside or something, or somebody, the Jehovah's Witnesses would come and knocking on the door, and these people are right out of the pit. They don't believe in hell. Well, if there's no hell, well then, you know, let's all eat, drink, and be merry. I mean, there's a hell, all right. The Lord showed it to me on several occasions. But anyway, while I was receiving the baptism this time, it was pouring down. It hit my head, and I started speaking in tongues. And I just felt this river of life being poured through me, and I started stammering lips and speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, there was an automobile wreck outside. You could hear the crash and people screaming and everything like that. But I says, Lord, it's already happened. I'm just going to keep receiving this. And I just kept speaking in tongues. My voice went down an entire octave. And I've got a pretty bassy voice. And it went way down in the bottom of the barrel. And it was wonderful to receive the Spirit of the Lord. But, you know, discouragement, I'm not discouraged at all, because I know that the things that the Lord stated that would be happening with Sue and myself, he said that he'd raise her from the dead. It'd be a long time. And it's been 24 years. April next month, this is 2006, April the 8th will be 24 years that she's been gone now. And when he's going to do it, I know it's going to be soon, because we're living in the very last days. And it talks about this, the two witnesses in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. There's been many people that read about themselves in the Bible, and especially everybody it talks about in the Bible. It tells about the sinners, that they're all going to hell, and that the saints, those that accept the Lord and do, are filled with his contents, giving them the ability to be able to do the things that he says they're going to be in heaven. So everyone's written up in the book of life, in the book, which is really not a book, it actually is God. The Bible says that God is the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. And then later on in the first chapter of John, it says that he became flesh. in order to cause us to be able to have the river of life flowing through us. If he had not come into the world, we wouldn't even know what life was. But our life is temporal, his life is permanent. And this is what these messages are all about, is how to have God's life, his unique, holy life, the only life that is able to get you into heaven living in you. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He that, the Bible also says that he that has Christ has life. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is God. All right? And anyone that doesn't know that, they just haven't read the Bible yet. Christ was God come in the flesh. It says Emmanuel, God with us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's continue here.
I listen to you on shortwave, and your show is very interesting. Signed, Mark from Gwynedd, United Kingdom.
All right. Is that it for letters? All right, so come on, Sharon. Let's begin now with part 23 of how to have God's life living in you. You've already gotten some of that already in the message today. Amen? All right, let's hear some.
We're going to talk of symbolism here of God's immortal, eternal plan. The center or the very main thing, the middle of the Old Testament, is the temple.
Okay, and the temple, I still hear preachers saying that they're going into Jerusalem to desecrate the temple of God. There is no temple of God in Jerusalem. You are the temple of the Lord. And so that's what Satan is doing today, is he's desecrating the temple of God. So many, there's a great falling away, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 states. And Satan would come down because he's no longer able to go to the throne of God and bring petitions or say, how about your servant Job, you know, if you take the hedge down from him, he'll curse you right to your face and stop serving you. Well, that isn't true. Job did not do that. But, keep going.
The temple is the actual central theme of the Old Testament.
Right, that's symbolic of you and I. The temple of God now is us, and Christ is our temple. And Christ is going to... the real estate in heaven is heaven itself, and Christ is heaven, because God is everything. And the temple that we will live in there is Christ, because he's light, amen?
Amen.
There won't be any sun there, or moon, or stars, but Christ will be the light. He's the light of heaven, and he's the light of this world, amen?
Amen.
And if his content, the content of the living God, is in you, then you are the light of the world also. Okay? And so you've got a lot to live for. And by God's, by the stripes of Christ, you were healed. And so because of the content of God being in you, you cannot be sick. Rise up, take your bed up, and be healed. It's already a done deal. So many Christians, they are healed already, but they don't realize it, and so they don't receive it. I could have $10,000 in my hand, and I'm going to give it to you, but you don't come over and get it, right? Well, you have to come over and get it. Not, I'm not saying that I'm going to give you $10,000, so don't get that. That pays for a lot of radio broadcasts. But the Lord has healing, salvation for you and healing. You just have to come to him and say, hey, Lord, I believe that you're the way, the truth, the life. I believe that salvation belongs to you, and it can belong to me also, and I believe that you healed me. I just receive your healing and thank him and give him all the glory and thanks. It's just that simple. The simplicity of the gospel has always astounded people, has caused people to stumble. They just figure it should be like algebra or something, or some other something that is complicated to most of us. Some people, algebra is very easy, but it isn't complicated, it's just believe. By faith you're saved. By faith you're healed. And by doubt you're damned. Okay, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So just open your ears now and ask the Lord to just give you the faith that comes from His Word, and it'll come because He promises that it will. Okay, keep going.
The central theme of the Old Testament is the temple which is within the city. The temple within the city...
Yeah, the city is the New Jerusalem. That's symbolic of the New Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
The city, the four-square city. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the light of the city and the light of heaven. Okay, He's the light of this world. Okay, what we see in this world is just temporary. It's not the real light. Jesus is that light. The Word of God is that light. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The temple within the city was built on that piece of real estate, and that piece of real estate with the temple and the city built upon it is the very middle or center of the Old Testament scriptures.
When the Bible talks about Satan desecrating the temple, that means that he's going to get in, so people are going to start believing the New World Order of the One World Government. And this is Antichrist government. It's Antichrist cult in Rome is the one that's ahead of it. They have murdered hundreds of millions of people, and they keep trying to pin murder on those of us that don't believe in murder at all. We don't believe that you could ever kill anybody or anything, and yet they try to make it look like we're abusers and that we're murderers. Look at the way that they abused and murdered the people at Waco. Look at the way that they just, there was a false rumor over the people of Iraq, Iran, everywhere. They just send bombs over there and bombed all these children. You talk about abusers and murderers. And even the president, the former president of the United States, says, I take full responsibility. And this homosexual lesbian says she takes full responsibility for killing all those men, women, and children. Why, you scum of the earth, I mean, why are you not prosecuted? Why do you prosecute somebody that absolutely does not believe in murder, does not believe in homosexuality or any of these things? It's because maybe you're a homosexual. You're a liar. You lied yourself, former President Clinton, on television, and everybody knows you're a liar. And Bush, you're a liar too. You say you're a Christian. You're nothing more than a brutal Catholic. Now, I'm not against Catholics getting saved, and I'm not even against you getting saved, former President Clinton and President Bush. But I'm still calling you a brutal Catholics. And I don't like your brutality, because that's your doctrine, and I hate your doctrine, and God hates your doctrine as well. If somebody doesn't convert to your religion, it's like your demons, like Satan is living in you, and you just want to kill them. Or if anyone comes out against your horrible cult, why do you say you're Baptist, and then you build monuments unto the Vatican? You know the U.S. Constitution says you're not supposed to have any preference in religion. Now, I don't believe in Buddhism. I don't believe in Mohammedism. I don't believe in Shintoism or any other isms or Judaism. Judaism denies Christ. But I do believe that they have the right to believe the way they want to. Even God does not take that privilege away from them. Only you Catholic cult warmongers are the only ones that takes people's personal belief away from them. I believe if a rabbi, I witnessed to rabbis, I witnessed to Buddhists, or Muslims, Shintoism, people that belong to Paramahansa, Yogananda, any cult, I'll witness to them. Cults to me are not dangerous, with the exception of the one dangerous cult that has been responsible for the death, the brutal murders of hundreds of millions of people, and that's the Vatican. All right? Those people are clandestine, and they're murderers. And I say to you, in the love of God, get saved. Because the things that you're doing are not going to help you at all at the judgment bar of God. Don't you know that eternity, hell, is forever? And what you're doing is pumping this type of doctrine into people, which means that you're desecrating the temple of God. The second chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians tells us that this would happen. There'd be a great falling away of Christian people because Satan would desecrate God's temple, and live in them, saying that he, not Christ, is God. All right, so that's where we're at right now. People have already received the desecration of Satan, and they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit by saying that the Spirit of Christ is of the devil, and that the spirit of the devil is God. The Pope is one of the most degenerate persons. These people have to be so degenerate in order to be popes they've already blasphemed the Holy Spirit. They renounce the Bible, God's Word, which is Spirit, the Holy Spirit in life. So therefore, they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. That's the sin that is unforgivable here on earth and in heaven. And so that's why they're going to send gifts when Sue and I are dead on the streets in Jerusalem, because we won't be telling them that anymore. But there's going to be a horrible earthquake when we rise up from the dead and the Lord takes us into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud. And this is also representative to show you that Christ, you people don't believe that Christ, that he died and was resurrected and that he ascended into heaven. You'll believe it then, because now everyone will see it on television. Everybody. And so I believe at that time maybe God is going to open up even blind eyes that are still alive so that they can see it. Seeing is believing. And I've seen visions, signs, and wonders. And I have been made a prophet of the Lord and somebody that can tell you what's happening and somebody that doesn't fear man, because I fear God very much, because I saw that he was able to pull the breath in and out of my body. And therefore, I fear him. Now, there's people that can take my life. The Bible says so. But they can't take my soul. But God, if I recanted on him, he not only can take my life, but he can sling my soul right into hell. And that's what he's going to do to a lot of people that continue on being part of this one-world government, one-world cult, one-world media. They lie. They've come to steal and destroy. So let's continue on here.
Also, it is the very center of God's thinking.
Right, the temple is the very center of God's thoughts. He wants to live in you. That's why he made us in his likeness and image, so that when he poured himself into us, he fits in us like we're a glove. Amen?
Amen.
But if you don't let him all the way in, then you haven't surrendered your whole glove self unto him. If I had a glove that would only allow part of my hand to get into it, I would throw the glove into a furnace and burn it. I want a glove that I can put on and it fits like a glove, fits my hand. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants somebody that will let him go all the way in, fit all the way in them. That's why he made you in his likeness and image. If you're looking at a photograph of a man, you're looking at what God looks like. That's why I wasn't afraid at all when I saw him. I thought I'd be scared to death if I ever saw the Lord. But he showed himself to me, and that was the most calming and beautiful moment of my life. And I was extremely sad when he didn't take me on right then. I says, Lord. He says, not now. I was just ready to go right up to him. He said, not yet. He said, you got something for me to do. He said, it was warning me that I wasn't reading the Bible enough. He says, you're going to be in charge of, you're going to be a part of this big movement of mine in these last days. You have so far been doing well, but you need to read the Bible more. There's no end to the depths of God's Word, to the understanding and wisdom of it. All right, and so you have to. You must not only read it, but study it. Okay, to be a workman approved by God. If you're approved by God, well, then God will speak through you and to others and dispense himself through you into others. His dispense himself, which himself is life. The very content of God, the whole content of him is life. So when he's dispensing himself out, from heaven, he's dispensing life into people. Eternal life, that is. Okay? And you can't get in unless you let him do it. and let him do it. Let him pour himself, which is life, into you. Anything that comes from God is life. All right? Except those of the people that don't allow him to do that, that just keep sinning. And then he pours out his wrath. He's a very good God. He's a loving God, but he also kills. Amen?
Amen.
He destroys. All right, then what?
In God's thinking, or in his mind, is this piece of real estate with its temple and city. If you are able to discern what the scriptures mean, you'll realize that the center of God's immortal, eternal plan is speaking in symbols, types, or shadows. It is the real estate with the temple and the city. The Old Testament, from the very first chapter of Genesis, always takes the real estate as the very center of the theme of God's mind. It always mentions something related to the real estate. In the first chapter of Genesis, there's one thing that is more than likely hidden from most Christians, but the thing that's hidden is extremely important. In the first chapter, and it's hidden beneath the surface. It is the real estate.
Right, it's covered with water. There's chaos. It's hidden. Amen?
Amen.
Good to see it. Spirit sees it, but if we were there, we couldn't have. Then what?
So we have to learn what the meaning of the first chapter of Genesis is. What is the purpose of and the aim of God's creation according to the first chapter of Genesis? It is the recovery of the land, or the real estate. God wanted to recover the real estate to do something upon it. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and there was chaos upon the land, or the real estate.
It was the water that was over the land, the chaos. Mm-hmm. Then what?
Darkness, waste, void, and deep waters were everywhere upon it. It was buried under the deep. So God began to work. God began to bring forth himself out of the earth and his Son, Christ Jesus. The first thing he did was divide the light from the darkness and the waters, which were above, from the waters which were beneath the waters, from heaven and the waters on earth, and he divided the water from the earth, and the earth resurrected out from the waters on the third day.
Now the water on the other side is the living water which comes down from God. It's the flowing out of God's life, unique life. There's only one real life, and that's the life of God. And his entire content of God is life. And so he put his life into the earth. Okay? And his life is Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because he's the fullness of God's life. Amen?
Amen.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through him. So if you're into other religions, drop it, because they don't offer eternal life. And none of those people can appear to you. If they do, it's from Satan. All you have to do is plead the blood against it, and it'll go right away. But if you have Jesus in front of you, you can bleed blood all day long and he will not be removed. He'll stay right there. Then what?
The earth resurrected out from the waters on the third day. This is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. If the land resurrected on the third day, then this is a type or a figure, symbol, the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. There's all kinds of symbols, like in the seventh chapter of Daniel. It talks about that we're living now in, there are four different kingdoms, and it talks of the last kingdom having 10 toes. Well, those are the 10 different heads that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, the different countries that are off branches of the Vatican. Okay, and then there's the little horn that is the Antichrist movement. Okay, and then what else? So this is symbolic of that which we're living in now. We see that the world kingdom is the Roman kingdom, and it's a fierce beast. It is the Antichrist. Just read the seventh chapter. It's the Antichrist government, you say. Well, what does that mean, Antichrist government? That means against Christ. You'll notice that they want to take Christ out of Christmas. They want to completely obliterate the name Jesus, God, his word, and their burning down churches now, and they're using former backsliders to do it. And they're using former backsliders to bring all kinds of false accusations against people that are of the Lord. They actually ran a string of backsliders from my church into the courtroom and said so many lies, even people that were in prison, they let them out if they'd lie about me. And tell things, because the devil doesn't want you to hear my voice. He doesn't want you to receive eternal life. Now, if I had done all these things, you think God would be talking through me?
No.
In me and through me? No, he wouldn't. And if I had done anything wrong, do you think that God would honor me when I pray for people and they are healed immediately? No, he wouldn't do that. He wouldn't endorse anybody like that. But the Antichrist government from Rome, they hate me with a purple passion because I am opening the scriptures and telling people that they are the head of the Antichrist. They're the head of the world government and the world media. And so I'm telling the truth, and so what they're doing is slinging all kinds of mud. I'm accusing them of murder, murdering hundreds of millions of people. Even the Bible says that they've killed millions, hundreds of millions of saints, Christians. So if you don't believe God, then you're the same as receiving the Antichrist. Okay, then go ahead.
That was the third day when the Lord Jesus Christ came out of his grave, out of hell.
Right, so the land came up the third day out of the watery grave. Okay, then what?
He conquered hell, death, sin, Satan, everything. So in the first chapter, we see Jesus as the real estate, the land. You can plainly see that the first chapter of Genesis is a figure, a type, or a shadow of Christ to come.
His resurrection. And then when he resurrects, all life is available to everybody. And when the land resurrected, which is Christ, then came forth abundance of grass and herbs and trees with fruit and seed-bearing within itself, and birds and fish and animals and everything else came, because the temporal life, even temporal life, comes from God and from Christ, which is the land. Amen?
Amen.
Because everything comes out of the land. He even formed us out of the dirt of the ground. Amen?
Amen.
And then blew his breath in us so that we were spiritual back then. We still are spirits. We've got spirits. But we need to have God's content in us so that it's God himself in us. It isn't like going to church or clapping our hands or reading a book. Some people make a big deal because somebody doesn't clap their hands the way they do. Clapping of hands is not anything important, okay? It's no importo, okay? It's not importanto. Amen?
Amen.
So people are straining on a certain way that you clap your hands or that you sway back and forth. It's God's content, God himself, the unique life, the everlasting life, the indestructible life, the life that never changes, or the life that you can't kill, living in you, mingled with your temporal life, which makes you then eternal, because it's God's life mingled with your temporal life, giving you immortality. Okay, then what?
On the third day, God brought the earth, which is symbolic of Christ, out of the waters of death. Because of this, being a symbol, a type, or a figure, you can know or realize what the earth is. The earth, or the land, the real estate, is a type, a figure of Christ. Then after the land came out of the waters, came out of the deep, all kinds of life came into being. After Jesus raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, all kinds of life, eternal life, came. But in this case, which is a figure, a symbol of Christ, all living things come forth. Grasses, herbs producing seed in fruit trees, yielding fruit with seeds in itself, and every animal and crawling thing, fish and fowl, able to reproduce themselves. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the Lord was brought out of death, he was resurrected out of the watery grave. He produced abundant life, eternal life, and life more abundantly here on earth.
Yeah, because he proved he was God, because nobody else is raised out of hell, death, and ascended into heaven. And no one's ever done that before. So if That isn't God, and what could God do more than that? Amen. And then start sending down himself, his content, his life into others. Okay? And filling us with life. Because God himself is life. So filling us with his content. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Doesn't that make it simple to understand? That's how to have God's life living in you. Amen. Then what else?
Jesus is the life, and he is still full of the production of the temple and eternal life. So he is a symbol of this land or this real estate that's full of life. This land is full of life. Land was created according to the image and likeness of God.
That's why the Lord tells you to pray over your food. Thank him for it. Thank him for the water you drink. Thank him for the air you breathe. Thank him for that you're still alive and able to, if you're not saved, to be able to receive salvation. And that you're still alive and that you're able to have God's content living in you and that you could be used by the Lord, you know, to let his life flow through you, his content flow into you and through you into others. It's like a flowing from the throne of God. The Bible, all throughout the Bible, it tells about it. The book of Ezekiel, Revelations, the book of Genesis, from the beginning, it flows down and it moves. It's the power of God, not by power of might, but by my spirit, saith the word, the Lord. Not by my life, saith the Lord. Okay? Everything is darkness and in chaos and on its way to hell and destruction. Until the life of God enters it, because God can't be destroyed. So you need to have the indestructible content or life, the unique life of God living in you, so that you cannot be destroyed, so that you won't be destroyed in hell in the lake of fire forever, so that you'll be able to escape all that, so you'll be able to live in heaven with the Lord forevermore. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so that's the most precious substance in the world, is the content of God in you. Okay, then what?
Having the likeness of God, and to this man Adam, was committed God's authority. After the Lord came out of death, after the resurrection, there was an abundance of life produced. And in the midst of this fullness of life, God created a man out of dirt. And he made him a representative of himself, God, with God's image, God's likeness, and God's authority. All these things have come to pass in Christ, as God's piece of real estate or land. When I'm talking about the land, you know what I'm talking about. The land is a figure, a type, a symbol of Christ, is everything to us.
Yeah, because without him, there is no life. Without him, there's no provisions for healing or life or eternal life. Immortality, escape from hell. Yeah, without him, we can be destroyed. But with him in us, his content in us, we are alive forevermore. Amen. With him. And we cannot be destroyed. Even when we're in heaven, if they came with a million hexagon bombs, that's what I realized when I was saw a vision of myself in heaven, what I'd look like and what Sue would look like. I realized that when we're walking, it looked like we're in animation. Every move we made, every look that we made was perfect. I mean, it was beautiful, because there's not even our moves are imperfect in heaven. Our posture is perfect in heaven. And I knew that there was so much power, because it's God's power living in us, that we were indestructible. Billions, trillions of atomic bombs couldn't even blow one of our hair off of our head. All right? It's like the indestructible life of God that now is you. In you and through you. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's why it's so precious. You say, precious Jesus. Oh, blah, blah, blah. No, it's the content of God in you, making you alive forevermore with God. And that is precious. Amen?
Amen.
And if you think that anything in this world is more valuable than that, well then, you know, I feel sorry for you. All right, go ahead.
Everything that God prepared for mankind is consecrated in the land. Everything comes out of the land here on earth. Then after Christ's resurrection, everything in heaven comes out of him, who is also the real estate of heaven, and he's also the temple there. We were created to live on the land, to enjoy and to have all the provisions that God gave to us. All things related to man are concentrated in Christ, the land with the life in it. So all things which God has prepared for us are concentrated, consecrated. They are Christ. The Lord brought the Israelites.
And Christ is life. The entire, everything in him is life. That's why Satan has nothing in him. There's no death in Christ. Satan is death, and he says, Satan has nothing in me. No death is in me. Only life. If you are in me and I'm in you, you have life. He that hath Christ hath life, and it's talking about eternal life. Isn't that worth something to you, to devote your entire life and surrender your entire life over to him?
Yes.
Well, of course it is. Okay, then what?
The Lord brought the Israelites into the promised land, and his people maintained themselves there and enjoyed all the riches. The result of this was the city and the temple on the land. When we have the city, the temple, then we also are able to enjoy all these things. The fruit trees and the city and the temple.
Right, if you have Christ, he says he'll provide everything for you. Eternal life, the healing, and whatever he wants, whatever you ask, he'll give it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then what?
The city is the center of God's authority, the city in the kingdom of heaven. The city here on earth is Jerusalem. That's the major city on earth, the center of God's authority, God's kingdom. And that's where the temple was.
That's symbolic of the new Jerusalem, which is going to be right on the real estate in heaven. And that's us. Amen? That's the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's Christ and us united together. Then what?
The temple was the center of God's house. Now we are the temple of God, and all these things that we are were given to us. They are all Christ.
Yeah, they were given to us as gifts, so we shouldn't be puffed up as though we're any... something that we got by our own means. But no, everything we have is a gift from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because we've accepted his way, his truth, his life, which is his a son. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
It isn't something that we've been given other than Christ. Even our righteousness is not ours. It's Christ. We don't have righteousness without Christ.
Yeah, if Christ, the content of God is in you, that's Christ. Because Christ is the life. And so he comes out of heaven, he flows down into us, and we have Christ. We have immortality, we have life, we have the content of God, the indestructible content, the unmovable content. The content that doesn't change from one day to the next. We're the same yesterday, today, and forever, because God's content is never changes, and so his content is in us, and so there we're like him. Amen?
Amen.
Not imitating him, but we're exactly like him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we're more than we think we are. Amen?
Amen?
Christians need to know what we are, what they are. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you just don't have any vision of what you are. You got to know who you are, and you got to know who God is. Amen?
Amen.
You have to know that through Christ we have God. Amen? We have
Amen.
Eternal life. Praise the Lord. Then what?
We don't have power because Christ is the power and the authority.
Yeah, but if we have Christ, then his power is in us. Amen?
Amen.
So we do have it, but without him we don't, is what I mean. Okay, then what?
All power and authority and dominion and wisdom and knowledge and understanding is Christ.
Right, and if he's in us, well, we have him. Amen?
Amen.
We're in his bride chamber. We are his bride, and his bride and he are one. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Christ is the wisdom and power of God. The temple is the center of God's house. So we are God's house, and God is our house. God needs a dwelling place, and so do we. The kingdom of God and the house of God are the result of Jesus, who is the land.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus also is the life, God's life. Listen, I'm sad to tell you, but our time is up. I'm sure you'd like to hear more, and you can hear more too by tuning in tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
To part 24 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And if you'd like a copy of this broadcast, all you need to do is call us, write us, fax us, or email us, and ask for tape or CD number 125. And we'll send it to you free of charge. We don't charge anything. If you need a Bible, we'll send you that. It's free of charge. If you'd like some of the literature that the Lord has given me, we'll send you that as well. But now, would you like to have the content of the Almighty God living in you to where you're indestructible, you're immortal, you're everlasting? No, you can't be destroyed. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to have their bodily parts destroyed because they just love the way they are or something. And then, so on the other hand, there are some people that want to commit suicide. If you do that, then you eliminate yourself from having the ability to enter into the kingdom of heaven or to have God's content in you. So don't do that, whatever you do, because that's a horrible sin, because you're destroying the temple of God. And God doesn't give us the permission to kill anybody, even ourselves, because He wants us, He wants to live, to pour Himself, His content, His everlasting life into us. So the way that you can start doing that, you'll see that to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, just say this prayer. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because Your word says so. Your word says You'll turn no one away. Your word also says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God, You will pour Your content in me right now. Hallelujah. And Your content is life eternal. Therefore, and I know You've heard me, and I know, because You hear even the faintest whisper, and You know what even what we're thinking. And I know You've heard me, I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul." Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Say, "Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus." All right, again, this is in order to order the tape, 125. You can email us and fax us and call us at these, and write us at these following addresses and numbers here.
Write us at Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax us at area code 479-782-7406. Website is alamoministries.com.
All right, and so until tomorrow's broadcast, 24, of How to Have God's Life Living, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. And I know He has, especially that you now have received Him. And give all the glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen.